Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey, friends, and happy Monday, and welcome back to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show. Happy New Year as we are continuing on in this kind of dreary month of January. I don't know about you, but January seems long and kind of dreary, but we have a bright spot of hope for you here on the program today. We are going to talk about the impact of scripture memory today. Now, if you've been listening, you know that I have challenged you to join me in a year-long journey to take a New Year's resolution. Yes, I am asking you to commit to one with me that I'm going to be doing myself. I am asking you to simply invest in your parenting journey. And all you have to do to do that is just listen into the show every week for the next year. We'll be introducing a habit for healthy parenting, 52 of them, one a week. Now, last week, we talked about prayer, and I am going to be accountable to you, my listeners, and tell you I have my prayer journal going. And let me tell you, my list is long. I haven't written in it necessarily every day, but I'm writing in it as much as I can. And that is the secret to success for these New Year resolutions and for starting to cultivate healthy habits, not creating goals that are unattainable, goals that we are definitely going to fail. I'm going to the gym every day because I know that I won't. I'm just being honest. So we know that we want habits for healthy parenting. Prayer is a really big part of that. Now you may be thinking, okay, Jessica, get to the good stuff. Yeah, I know I'm supposed to pray. No, listen, we have to make these foundational blocks. These things are very simple and straightforward, but they're not easy. However, they are very important disciplines for us to have as parents. So I promise you, if you hang along for the journey, we are going to get more complexity as we go on. But right now, we are talking about the basics. So last week was prayer. This week's habit is scripture memory. Let me tell you, this was a game changer for me as a parent when I started to intentionally invest in memorization of scripture, not just reading my Bible. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about choosing a scripture to memorize. Now, when you start to do this, it really will start to come through in your parenting because these are the words that will inhabit your heart and your mind. And we know that what is in the heart will overflow through the mouth. And we know also that our own wisdom as parents is painfully inadequate. Like we cannot do this on our own. We do not have enough wise words. And plus, the language is always changing. I know my kids are always making fun of me and my husband if we even attempt to try any Gen Z slang. So if we talked about, you know, risen each other up, oh yeah, see already my kids are just absolutely cringing. But we have all kinds of words that I don't even know what they mean. But you know what? Here is the hope in that. God's word never changes. So what I'm challenging you to do is to memorize at least one scripture this year. You can do that. Now, if you want to take it up a notch, I really am going to try to memorize 52 new verses this year, and I'll be posting those on my Instagram and sharing those verses that I'll be memorizing going through the week. But I'm going to try and give myself grace, and if I fall behind, then maybe I can accelerate in weeks to come, and that is perfectly okay. Now, some ways to do this are to take a scripture. You can even just get a picture off of the internet of a scripture and make it the lock screen on your phone. That way, every time you open your phone, and I know for most of us, now there are some saints out there who still either have a flip phone or don't have a phone or don't have a problem with their phone. And so for the three of you who are out there listening, good for you. But for the rest of us, we look at our phones a lot during the day. So just having it as a lock screen and reminding you and reading it over can be a good way to memorize it. You can also take a Bible verse and put it on a sticky note on your bathroom mirror or your car dashboard or your refrigerator. You can get a card on your nightstand. I know I bought a set of cards that are just really cute and I put it there. My husband has a flip calendar that's like a perpetual calendar with scriptures on there. You can write a scripture in your email signature, or you can take accountability and ask for accountability. Partner with a friend and ask them to do it with you or to ask you about it. You can text that scripture to your family or your spouse each day. There's even coloring books, y'all, for scripture memory. So there are a lot of ways that you can invest in memorizing scripture. And it's one thing, for example, I'll give you an example of what this looks like in my everyday parenting life. If my child comes to me and tells me they're afraid, the nurse in me, the mom in me, the nurturer in me can say, "Don't be afraid. I'm here with you. Everything's going to be okay." It's a really powerful follow-up if I say, "God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind." That's a really powerful follow-up. And for some of you, that may feel really super awkward at first because you think, "I'm not used to talking like that." Your kids may roll their eyes. It's not like they're going to say, "Oh, thank you. Great and wise, wonderful parent." But if you just make that a habit, it will become normal. Now, I wanted to share with you kind of a really touching story of a way that my daughter actually applied this in our own family life. So one year for Christmas, she decided to give my father-in-law a Bible. Now, this was not just any Bible. What she did was she went around secretly, of course, to many of his friends that were in his Sunday school class or in his Bible study group or other friends that she knew, and she asked them, "Would you give me a scripture for my grandfather?" And they each gave her a scripture, and so she highlighted the Bible verse in the Bible and then wrote their name and a message from them inside the Bible. And when she gave him the Bible, there were all of these scriptures already highlighted. That might be a great way to go too, to gift it to someone and then start memorizing those scriptures that are there. But this is more, we're talking more than just reading your Bible. We really need to hide God's word in our heart. So that is my challenge to you. And the second habit for healthy parenting of 52 that we will be doing this year in 2024. Now, even if next year in January of 2025, if you say you have written once in your prayer journal and you've memorized one scripture, that's still maybe one more than you did in 2024 and 2023, or one more scripture than you learned in 2023. So give yourself just enough to stretch and to try to take this challenge on together. So today I am asking back a guest we've had on before. We have got Jeff Land. He is a children's pastor at Sugar Creek Baptist Church in Sugar Land, Texas. You know, he previously served with Lifeway Kids, developing content and serving churches for several years. Jeff and his wife, Abby, have four boys. So just like if you listen to The Core with Walker Wildman, they've got four boys. Jeff and Abby have four boys. They have authored multiple books together. And on our last appearance here on the show, he shared his amazing, miraculous, incredible, tear-jerking adoption story. So if you missed it, you missed it. You really, really missed it. So go back and find the previous episode with Jeff Land and listen to that story. But today we've got him back on to talk about scripture memorization. Jeff, welcome back to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show.
Thanks for having me again, Jessica.
Well, you know, I confess, Jeff, after I had you on last time, you made me think of two songs from my childhood. One of them we'll talk about in a minute, and I'm going to hold that as a surprise. The other one is going to be a surprise to you. I think about the Toys R Us kids song. Do you know this song, Jeff? You know, "I Don't Want to Grow Up."
Oh, yeah. "I Don't Want to Grow Up."
Uh-huh, exactly. Okay. Now, this is why I thought of you, not because you don't want to grow up, but you told me that you grew up as an AFR kid. So I'm putting that into the Toys R Us kid tune in my mind right now. "You don't want to grow up, you're an AFR kid." You grew up that way. Is that not true?
I totally did. Yes, absolutely.
Well, you did.
We, and
yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, we're from Mississippi, and that's where AFR got its start. So it was a big deal for us when we got Christian radio that was not Southern gospel only.
I'm not telling any of your grandparents that you said that. That just might be there. But Jeff, what I wanted to talk to you about today was scripture memory and Bible reading. And, you know, I'm wondering, what is your perspective on this? You're a children's pastor and you work with families every day. How do you encourage families to do this, and how do you do it with your own?
Well, scripture memory is so important. I really got my roots in learning scripture memory through Bible drill back in the day. My grandmother was one of my Bible drill leaders, and so she would really drill that into us, and just learning all the different verses that are key verses and passages that really would guide us through our lives. So I think it's super important to do scripture memory, because there are just times, even though now in the world, you pretty much have your Bible with you all the time because it can be on your phone app or whatever, there's going to be times when you just need that calming scripture to be in your brain and in your heart. And so we encourage kids to memorize scripture at our church. Obviously, we do that every week. And we want kids really to commit to one right now. I know you're challenging people to do a verse a week. We try to get them to do a verse a month, just so they can really get into it, learn what it means, not only the words of it, but really take it into their heart.
Well,
in our house, we do a lot of the same things, like you were saying. We have mm-hmm. verses posted in our windowsills and on our mirrors and those types of things.
You know, this reminds me of one time when my sister was out of town and I had my niece and I had to take her to church, and she was probably about 5 years old. And, you know, mama was gone and she was not happy. She was not having it. So I was trying to get her out of the car seat, and she was just screaming and holding on. She did not want to go. And when she went to the Sunday school class, they told her, okay, you need to, you know, say the Bible verse before you come in. And the Bible verse that they had simplified for her was Noah helped God. She would not say it. She was so mad at me for dropping her off. She wanted to stay with me. And so I said, okay, well, if you say the Bible verse, then I'll leave you here and I'll go to church. And she wanted me to leave because she was so angry with me. And she looked right at me and she said, Noah helped God. Bye-bye. It was so funny. So when we come back, Jeff, I do want to talk about the implications of this approach, though. Like when we memorize scripture, I think sometimes families can look at that as a legalistic sort of thing. Like, okay, we have to memorize scripture. And, you know, I'm thinking of your memory of the Bible drills, like sword drills, right, is what we used mm-hmm. to have. And I think that there's a difference between a relational approach, like being a relational exercise and something that we want to do, and that's a joy, rather than something they have to do. So can you give us a little preview of what we'll talk about?
When you're learning scripture and make it fun, then kids are going to be more able to put it into there. So let's think about how we're going to put that scripture into kids' hearts.
Well, I love that. Now, Jeff and his wife, Abby, wrote a beautiful Advent devotional that we actually gave away a copy of. And I was delighted to see that they also have an Easter devotional. Now, this is a gorgeous book. It's hardcover. It is vibrant. Talking about fun, Jeff, it's beautiful. And it's called The Way to the Savior, a Family Easter Devotional. And I love what you said here. It's amid the hustle and bustle of springtime chores and storefront businesses, focusing your children on the true meaning of Easter can be a challenge. But this brings you together and shows them the way to the Savior instead. And we're going to give it away to the first caller at 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. So don't go away. When we come back, we'll talk about making scripture memorization fun. You don't want to miss it. We'll be right back after this break.
listening to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show with Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hey, friends, and welcome back. We are talking about habits for healthy parenting. Last week, we talked about prayer. Today, we are talking about scripture memory. And before the break, I was talking with Jeff Land, a children's pastor, and we were discussing making scripture memory fun and making a lot of the things that go into church attendance fun, I think, is a really effective way to meet kids. Now, one of the ways that Jeff has done that in his ministry is to develop his own podcast. Now, when we're going to play you a clip of this podcast, they're really short things that families can listen to every single day. And you will hear that the message is for the kids, but I believe that the music is for the parents. So, Brent, let's go ahead and play that clip. All right, we're going to play the clip of the Beautiful Day podcast. And I think when you hear this music start, if you're a Gen X like me, you will recognize it. Brent, do we have it? Okay, that's all right. Well, we don't have it. That technical difficulties can ensue, and that is okay. We will just pivot like we do. That's a flexible as my middle name as a nurse and a mom. Jeff, why don't you tell us about the podcast?
The podcast, it was birthed through a YouTube channel that we started during COVID, and we kind of mimicked the Mr. Rogers kind of theme, and we'd talk to kids about the importance of Bible skills and things just so that we could send it out and keep our connection with kids while we weren't able to meet in person. And so then we thought that we should turn it into a podcast. So we actually just recorded our 800th episode about
800?
2 days ago. So yeah, a few days ago was our 800th episode.
That's awesome.
So yeah.
Go ahead. Tell us more.
Well, they're purposefully designed to be short so that you can listen to them in your car on the way to school or as at the breakfast table, because we want them to be a jumping off point. We don't want it to be the only Bible teaching that a kid hears during the day, but we want them to have something to discuss with their parents.
Well, today's episode, you just came back from after the break, and today is about finding wisdom in the Bible and wisdom in Scripture. And I think this is so important, Jeff, because where kids get their wisdom from today is like TikTok. Like, that's where they think is an almighty source of, you know, knowing everything. So tell us about today's episode and the importance of that.
Well, right now we're going to go through the book of Proverbs. So every day we're going to do a different proverb. And Proverbs is all full of wisdom. And today just talks about why putting God's word in your body is wise and how you can lean on his wisdom to teach you how to respond to different things that happen in the world. It's funny because I put the little teaser about me being on the Dr. Nurse Mama Show today on my Facebook. I'm that old.
And I love it. Me too.
And I immediately got a message from a guy I went to high school with, and he says, I've got a 10-year-old. Can you give me some recommendations for a Bible that would be good for him? He needs to start using the Bible to help him make decisions. I love that people recognize that.
I absolutely love that. And I'm getting from the magical voice in my radio ear here that we have the clip ready to go. So let's go ahead and play it and take a listen to see what this sounds like.
Hi, kids. It's Pastor Jeff, and this is the Beautiful Day podcast on Monday, January 8th. Proverbs 8, 10, and 11 say, choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than the choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Happy 2024. I hope you had an excellent Christmas season. We had a great time. We went to Mississippi, where my parents live and where my brother lives, and then also where my in-laws live and my sister-in-law and their families. And so we got to see them. And then we came home and we enjoyed a beautiful day just at our house. Today marks the beginning of an exciting journey as we step into the new year. And what could be better than starting it off with some excellent advice? Did you know the Bible is full of wisdom and advice? There's a particular book in the Bible that's packed with valuable guidance. Do you know which one that is? That's right. It's the book of Proverbs. In January, we are going to explore this book. And did you know that the book of Proverbs has 31 chapters? So if you read one chapter every day, you're able to finish the whole book by the end of the month. That's a lot of wisdom. As we start this new year, it's essential to have good advice to help us live our best lives. Today's verse reminds us that seeking God's wisdom is incredibly valuable. It's even more precious than silver, gold, or rubies. You see, like things like money or treasures can fade away or be lost, but wisdom is different. It stays with you through all the ups and downs of life, and it helps us through sad and difficult times. It also allows us to enjoy happy moments. In the Bible, there's a story about Solomon, the son of King David. God said to Solomon, "Whatever you ask me, I will give it to you." Solomon didn't ask for wealth or power. Instead, he asked for wisdom and knowledge to be a good king. God was so pleased with Solomon's request that he granted him wisdom and knowledge, and Solomon became a wise and great king, and even wrote the book of Proverbs that we're exploring. So seeking God's wisdom is the best decision that we can make every single day. Let's make our New Year's resolution this year to seek wisdom, and it'll guide us to making good choices and living well. Dear God, thank you for this brand new year that you've given us. Please help us to seek your wisdom in all that we do. Guide us as we begin a new year so that we make wise decisions and live our best lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bye, kids. I hope you have a beautiful day.
Well, there's so many things that I love about that, Jeff. First of all, as I said before, the message may be for the kids, but the music is for the parents. If you didn't recognize that is Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. I love Mr. Rogers and grew up on Mr. Rogers. And Jeff, we talked about this last time. My kids think those puppets on the show are terrifying, but I stand by it. It's so good. But the other things that I love about this, Jeff, is that you're really modeling that this is very simple for families. Every family has 3 minutes a day, whether it's through that through your podcast or through a simple reading of scripture together. You modeled a simple prayer. And the other thing that I love is that, you know, for your kids and your church and your ministry, that's a familiar voice that they're listening to every day. They're hearing your voice on the radio or their car, you know, wherever it is. Radio. See, now I'm sounding old. But then when they go to church, they hear you and they recognize that voice. I think there's just so many good things about it. So what advice do you have for parents who maybe are wanting to beef up what they're doing at home? How would they start and go about that?
Well, I think that one of the things that you have to do is just make sure that you're setting the goal to do it. I love what you said at the beginning of the show and said you didn't make a resolution to go to the gym every day because you knew you wouldn't.
That's right.
I don't think that you should necessarily make a goal that like every single day we're going to do scripture memory. You can get too tied into those goals like that, but like you said, let's start with trying to do it one a week and choose a family verse and do it at your dinner table. I think that it's great that families still eat at the dinner table, and this is a great time to just go over that verse. Another good time to do it is while you're brushing your teeth. At our house, we have a couple of kids who are not so great at brushing their teeth, so they actually have to come down to our bathroom where they are supervised brushing their teeth. That's a good time. So you can just talk to them while you're brushing your teeth and start memorizing that scripture. There's just so many different times that you can do it. But one of the things that we often miss is that car time. We spend so much time going places. And so the car is an excellent place to start having those spiritual conversations and just be reminded of those verses. I love to listen to scripture songs, so whenever possible, I try to incorporate songs that are based on scripture into our car rider time or into what we're listening to so that kids can hear the words of the scripture and also have it with the beat. I think that really helps them to memorize.
I agree. And, you know, sometimes my kids may complain if I put something on the radio. But, you know, I think in today's age, it's really easy for kids to get in the car and they just zone out. You know, they put on their headphones, they've got them built into the car, or they have, you know, AirPods. Oh, see, now I'm sounding so old on this with all my technology. But, you know, whatever it is that you're listening to with an audio device from their ears, that's what kids do. And they forget that. And I don't know if you ever heard this growing up, but there was on the radio this guy who sounds like this, you know, really dramatic. Listen to the Bible. It's good for the soul. Mm-hmm. And I would put that on. But you know what? They would remember it. They would absolutely remember it. Well, one other thing I wanted to talk to you about, Jeff, in addition to that, is kind of guiding this across age groups. This can be a challenge for parents who have kids of different ages. You know, if you've got really young kids and you've got teenagers, and then even as you're starting out from the young kids and going older, when my father-in-law, you know, first started to get plugged into church, my kids were probably in about elementary school. And I remember my daughter, this is the same daughter I was talking about earlier who did the Bible for him. But when she started talking with him, she said, you know, you have done a good job. You know, now all of the little kid Bible stories, you know about Daniel and the lion's den, and you know about creation. But she said, you know what they call that? They call that milk. You need some meat in your life, is what she told him. And she said, and she gave him a scripture reference, and she said, Noah gets drunk, and I'm just going to leave it at that. You need to figure that out, is what she told him. So what is your advice for increasing that complexity? Where do you start, and how do you build out from there, Jeff?
Okay. There are two tools that I want to tell you about that are available for free from Lifeway. One is called Bible Skills for Kids, and the other one's called Levels of Biblical Learning. And they work so well at telling parents or teachers, whoever's with kids, the different types of things that kids of certain ages are capable of understanding and how those can become building blocks. So they've got it broken down into younger preschoolers, older preschoolers, younger kids, and older kids. And so just for instance, one of them is the authority of the Bible. And so for younger kids, they can begin to understand that the Bible helps people know what to do. But then as they get older, they can understand that the Bible teaches right from wrong. They can hear that the Bible teaches people how God wants them to live. And then, so by the time that they're a younger kid, they're ready to know that the Bible teaches people how God wants them to live. And then finally, as older kids, they're able to take those same stories and then understand that the Bible teaches people how to live in a way that brings glory to God. And so it starts introducing bigger words in the Bible skills area. It'll tell you what types of verses kids can understand. So younger preschoolers, they can memorize a 2 or 3 word verse at the beginning. And then as the time goes on, when they're getting into preschool and kindergarten, they can memorize shorter verses. But then by the time they're older kids, they could memorize a whole Bible passage or quote individual verses when the verse is given. And so I love this tool. Again, it's called Bible Skills for Kids. And you can just go on Lifeway's website and download it. And I'm not paid by Lifeway, by the way. But it's an excellent. It's the best type of chart just for parents kind of knowing this is what I should be pushing my kids toward. And I really think that it's important to teach kids Bible skills. I think that in the world of electronics and stuff, we've sort of forgotten some of those things. But if you start learning the way that the Bible is put together and the 10 divisions, and you understand how those go together and how the Old Testament is God's story of bringing us salvation through Jesus. The New Testament fulfills the Old Testament, and it's just so amazing to see how Jesus' life and things in the New Testament point back to things in the Old Testament. And the more kids can understand how the Bible is put together, I think it's just a great thing. I love audiobooks. I listen to everything, and I listen every day to the Bible. I listen on my way to work. I listen to my Bible reading plan. But also with a Bible, there is nothing like holding that real Bible in your hand and seeing God's words on print.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, Jeff, because this was actually a little bit of a argument. I mean, you know, just a rational discussion that my husband and I had.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it is true. It's so convenient that we have the Bible on our phone. But, you know, it was bothering me a little bit because when we go to church now, it looks like everybody's on their phone. And call me old. That seems to be the theme of this show, or a fuddy-duddy or whatever. But it bothered me because I feel like when kids are looking, like they're not differentiating either sitting and looking at your phone in the church or sitting and looking at your phone while you're waiting for your car oil to be changed. So my husband and I had this because I am old fashioned. I like paper calendars, which drives him crazy. Sorry, honey, I know you're listening. I'm really trying to convert to a digital calendar. But I think there is something to be said for opening that Bible and seeing it and just having that different visual cue. So our kids know that we're reading our Bible instead of, you know, they don't know what we're looking at on our phone. They may or may not know that we're reading our Bible. So I'm a big proponent of paper Bibles. So where do you fall on that, Jeff? Do you accept both?
I accept both because I really do rely on my digital Bible. My wife has a planner calendar that she keeps in book form, and it drives me nuts as well. So I think, you know, like if you could have it on your phone. But I will say that there is a Bible open on my desk right now to the book of First Chronicles, because I was just looking at it this morning, and I have about 25 Bibles on my bookshelf because I love Bibles. I love the different translations.
And now I've got my grandmother's Bible, you know, which is really, really special. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about Lent. What is it? Why'd you write about it? And so don't go away. We'll be right back.
Podcasts of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hey there, friends. Happy Monday and welcome back as we are talking to children's pastor Jeff Land about the importance of scripture memorization. Now, you may be wondering, Jessica, you are a nurse practitioner. Why are you talking about scripture memory? Well, I do know from research that faith practices like going to church, like prayer, like scripture memorization really make an impact on children's health. They are healthier and they are happier. And this is just a critical foundational building block. Now, if you've been listening, I'm challenging you to intentionally invest in your parenting journey in 2024. And we talked last week about prayer. Today, we have talked about scripture. And Jeff has given some great advice and some great resources for you in learning to do that. Now, before the break, we gave away a copy of Jeff's and Abby, his wife, their beautiful Easter devotional book. And it would be a great time to get that. We can congratulate Patty, who is listening in from Ohio. I don't think we've had a winner from Ohio yet. We've had a winner from, I think, about 15 states now, but not Ohio. So congratulations, Patty, for winning that. And so, Jeff, let's talk about this beautiful devotional that you created. It is for Lent, and there may be some people out there thinking, you know, I don't really know what Lent is. Is that when McDonald's starts serving the fish sandwiches on Friday? Like, and, you know, what is that? So tell me about Lent and this devotional.
Well, Lent is just a time of remembrance for me. That's the way that I look at it. The Lenten season, it actually starts on February 14th this year. It's the 40 days before Easter. And so it'll go February 14th through March 28th. And then a lot of congregations, someone will fast from something. So say they'll not eat sweets for 40 days or something, just as a remembrance of Jesus's sacrifice. For me, I don't usually give up anything for Lent, but it's just a time to refocus on everything. And since we wrote the Christmas Advent book, we wanted to bring it full circle and take it to not only Jesus's birth, which was excellent news, but also the purpose of why he came to earth, to teach us to live a perfect life and to die on the cross for our sins. And so it's just a good way. It's not, when you read the book, it's not going to be heavily Lenten per se, but it is going to focus on Christ's sacrifice, his life and his sacrifice, and it leads up to the death on the cross, but not finishing there at the death on the cross, but finishing with the resurrection, the best news ever.
Absolutely. And however you choose to observe or not observe Lent, depending on your faith traditions and what that is, I think the way that you said that is really good, that it's a time of reflection. And I think that this can benefit every family and thinking about those things. Now, one common thing, you know, it's common for people who do observe Lent to give something up for Lent. And what I see a lot of people doing now is giving up social media. So we'll see this mass exodus from
seen
social
that as
media.
Well.
Yeah, not a bad thing, right? But a good time, I think, to how do you suggest? It's making me think, Jeff, about reflecting in time for Easter, because sometimes we just think about Palm Sunday and do we all have Easter clothes for next week and then we go. But you're talking about a 40-day journey. How can parents really take advantage of that and leverage that time for reflection?
I think just bringing them into why we are celebrating Easter and really making it important to help them to know that, you know, I didn't grow up with a super big celebration of Easter in the way that we celebrated Christmas. We always, you know, we got our new outfits, we got an Easter basket and all that stuff, but it wasn't like a huge deal necessarily. And it doesn't have to be a huge deal for parents. I don't think my parents did anything wrong. I just think that we need to refocus a lot of times and help kids see that it's not about a bunny and it's not about getting an Easter basket, whatever else people do for Easter. It's more about focusing on that great sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And you can teach kids from an early age about how Jesus made that sacrifice for us.
Well, and we can do that a lot through Scripture. So how does Scripture influence your parenting? I mean, you've given in this book, it's very interactive. You know, you have a lot of activities that families can do together. There's discussion questions that will start, you know, conversation. There's devotionals and prayers. Specifically does Scripture influence your personal parenting, Jeff?
Well, Scripture influences all parts of our lives, and so we try to guide our children to be in the Word, to, you know, go to church, to listen to what they're learning and apply God's principles into that. But also it just helps you as a parent. For me personally, I think it helps you stay grounded, you know, focusing on those verses, especially the ones about being calm in mind and spirit and not exacerbating your children. I have to remember some of those, you know, because I can get pretty frustrated with four teenagers, you know. It can be very difficult.
Oh, it absolutely can. That just made me laugh because that's an exchange that I've heard in my house before where my husband will say, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And my children will say, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. You know, so there.
Yes, exactly. It's so true. And we've reminded them, you know, like the children obey your parents. That's the only verse with a promise. You know, if you want that long life, you obey us.
It's so true, but I think about as iron sharpens iron, so, you know, we can sharpen each other, and that's what'll happen. I'm just warning you now, if you teach your kids Scripture, they will learn how to use it really well. Well, Jeff, what is your favorite Scripture? Which one do you find yourself going back to over and over again? I know it might be asking you to pick, like, your favorite child, but what's your favorite Scripture?
Well, my wife and I have a family verse that we chose when we were married, and this verse has carried us through ups and downs and all arounds. It's Proverbs 16:3, and it says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. And for us, committing to the Lord, we know that if we are committed to the Lord, we're going to plan things with him in mind. And so we feel confident in what he has given us and in our plans because we've committed to him.
Oh, that's really beautiful. So how did you do that? How did you, you said it's your family verse. Like, did you have a ceremony, a plaque, an unveiling? Like, how did this, or is this just something that you decided as your family? How did you select a family verse?
We, you know, actually my wife found it and we just started using it, and it sort of evolved into being our family verse. It is now on plaques and stuff around our house, but
you Hobby Lobbied it up, right?
Yeah, we totally Hobby Lobbied it up, but it, you know, people people at work know Proverbs 16:3, that's their verse. So it's the one that we cling to when things are going bad. It's the one that we remember when God is really, when we can really tell that he is blessing us with our plans going the way that he wants them to go.
One of the verses we use often in our family is from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And this is a great accountability tool for us to use. And when we say this, we can ask each other, okay, is what you're saying helpful? Is it building them up according to their needs? Does it benefit those who listen? Because sometimes I think, you know, sibling talk can be some of the harshest talk because you're home and your guard is down. And sometimes that can be a frustration. But that's just a good measuring stick that we use in our family to, you know, to help encourage each other. And then it goes on in verse 32, as I'm sure you know from the little preschool song that we learned, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you.
That is so powerful. The forgive part. And what a wonderful thing to teach kids at an early age. Forgive. Forgive for that mean kid on the playground, or forgive your brother for this. You have so little, actually, to forgive when you consider how much Christ forgave us.
That is absolutely true. Well, what advice do you have, Jeff, for parents who are looking for a children's ministry and they're thinking, okay, we want to visit. What are some things that they should look for that will signal that, hey, this is a place where my kid can grow and be safe and loved and connected and grow in the knowledge of God's word?
I personally think that it's so important that you have a beautiful children's ministry with an inviting space, and that kids will want to go to that church. But that does not matter at all if you are at a church that is not teaching the Word of God. And so my biggest thing that I would say is that you need to find out what the curriculum is, how long the teachers have been teaching, and what the children's minister or the children's director, whoever is in charge of the children's ministry, what their philosophy is. Is that person's philosophy all about events? Is that person about glitz and glamour, or is that person trying to disciple children to grow and know Jesus, to grow in their belief of Jesus and to know Jesus? That's the first thing that you want to look for. The other stuff is great. It's like gravy to me. You want to make sure you have really great meat. And then on top of that, if you've got some
You're speaking my husband's language here.
Yeah,
you're talking about meat and gravy.
Gravy on.
Yeah.
Yep.
Throw in some sports and y'all are going to be best friends for life.
So really just finding that church that's focused on the Word. And well, I do think that you have to make it fun. I do think that you have to make it exciting, and you have to have events and those things. But you shouldn't do an event just for an event's sake. You should do it in order to bring people closer to Christ.
Well, I bet that's a
term of the church.
Yeah, I bet that's a challenge for children's ministry. Just today, when we see this in worship ministry too. You know, I served in worship ministry for a long time, and you see kind of making it a performance, and you know, emphasis on lights and technical things, and which those can have their place and their time. But I appreciate what you're saying, that those things don't matter as much as the substance of it, and just the simple teaching, a place where your child is loved, where they are safe, and where they are learning truth. That's what I'm hearing you saying. Did I get that right?
It's totally what you're hearing me saying. To me, otherwise, just go join a country club. You know, like somewhere.
Oh, that's,
you know,
whoa.
if you're looking just for fellowship, there's plenty of places to find friends. I think that your friends at church are some that are going to last forever, and they're godly, and it's great. And we love our friendships that we have met through our church. But more than that, we love that we are at a church that loves and leads all people to life-changing Christ. And we do that by standing on the true word of God.
That's absolutely true. And so I'm seeing these visions of, you know, little cups of goldfish crackers and Kool-Aid and, you know, and just felt board, even all of those things. And, you know, I think about when my kids, go to church, I'm very, very grateful that we have never had an experience where our kids didn't want to go. And I think that's just because when we looked for a place for them to be, we needed a place where they were loved, where they felt safe and where they felt welcome. And where we knew that they were getting truth. I want to close our time today, Jeff, by sharing with you one of my favorite verses that I've used as a parent. And one of my favorite verses actually comes from a pastor, an interim pastor that we had, who gave us what he called a summer in the Psalter. And so he did, he talked about verses from Psalm. And he gave us this verse. We studied this verse, Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he uphold from those who walk uprightly. And I think there were a lot of times, you know, when my kids would come home and they would feel unfairly looked over, or a situation that was unjust, or a situation that seemed like it didn't go the way that they thought that it would go. And these words would just come out of my mouth because we had talked about it. And I would tell them, the Lord God is a sun and a shield. He is a sun. He will light your path. He will show you the way that he should go. And they knew that he was a shield. God would protect them from things that they maybe didn't see. And he gives grace and glory. Now, I did some little research into this word glory, Jeff, because the Greek translation is the word doxa, which means the physical weight of God's presence. And so my kids know this is like a comfort blanket, like a weighted blanket. That's what God gives us to make us feel comfortable. And no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. So what they know from this truth is just that they have to concentrate on walking uprightly before the Lord. Are they doing everything that they can do in this situation to seek the Lord? And then they have to accept that God is protecting them from something that may seem painful at the time, but is such a blessing later on. Well, I would encourage you all to consider getting Jeff's book, The Way to the Savior, a Family Easter Devotional. This is by Jeff and Abby Land. It is a devotional to prepare your family for Easter. And I know we talk a lot about early holidays. We're in January talking about Easter, but y'all know this is just the way I roll. Jeff, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, may God just continue to bless the investment that you are making in children today, and may that pay off in families tomorrow. I just pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and your family. And we will see you next time.
Great. Thank you so much.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.